Welcome to Power Play. On the day, our long-awaited assignment to help keep the peace in the world's trouble spots was finally released, sort of. Coming up, two of the most prominent peacekeeping commanders from our past deployments rate the Trudeau government's less-than-promised plan. And the UK Vice Chief of the Defence Staff will also weigh in. And NAFTA kicks off another round of talks today, even as failed talks on the softwood lumber showdown head into a dispute settlement hearing for the first time. Also, politicians will stay away. We'll ask a leading trade expert how Canada should handle growing U.S. hostility to the deal. And Alberta has passed a controversial bill prohibiting schools from telling parents about their students enrolled in gay straight alliances. We will ask the strategist if Jason Kenney was smart to oppose the bill as his first move in the United Conservative Party leadership. But first, after 14 months of searching the globe for hotspots where Canada would have the greatest peacekeeping impact, the Prime Minister rolled out his plan today. It falls short of the promised $400 million commitment to deploy 600 soldiers and 150 police officers to a foreign trouble spot. The plan will deliver air support and a quick reaction force of 200 soldiers to locations which will be sorted out with the United Nations over the next 2 years. And as you can see, also peacekeeping for female peacekeepers and high military capabilities as well, and training.
Modern peace operations bring with them some of the biggest challenges, the toughest decisions, and the most heartbreaking consequences of anything we do. But our commitment to the effort endures, because we believe in peacekeeping. We have seen its power to transform, and we know that there is no greater gift that we can leave our children and grandchildren than true and lasting peace. So let's be bold. Let us innovate. Let us try new things. Let us be the change we need to build a more peaceful world together.
Okay, the former commander of UN peacekeeping forces in Rwanda, retired Lieutenant General Romeo Dallaire, is running a little late and will join us in 20 minutes or so. So let's start with reaction and a reality check on today's announcement with Canada's most experienced peacekeeper. General, I got to ask you, is this even less of a peacekeeping operation than you envisioned when we chatted just 48 hours ago?
Yeah, it's tap dancing around the difficult issues. I guess I was primarily disappointed in the presentation because I found it condescending.
How so?
I really thought he was talking down to the UN, and I thought the Prime Minister was talking down, to the members there that are committing to do the heavy lifting. Because everything that came out during the entire presentation pretty well was, we're going to throw money at this particular problem. We're going to throw money at the training. We're going to throw money at modest resources. But the rest of you do the heavy lifting. We think the UN hasn't necessarily been doing this peacekeeping properly in the past, and we're going to give the UN a hand in trying to improve. I mean, that's pretty superior coming from people that aren't doing much peacekeeping these days.
We talked about the risk of these deployments, and they can be very high risk now. Is that what this is, a risk-adverse decision, or is there something, what's behind it, do you think? Because it certainly seemed to be less than the commitment.
I don't necessarily think it's risk-adverse, and risk doesn't bother me, as we've discussed before, if there's a role for us to play. What's the objective? What are the national interests, you know, in a particular mission in Africa? And I'm not pleading for a mission in Africa, but if we do it, we should do it properly, and that means some heavy lifting. And having a 200-man standby rapid reaction company, rapid reaction is an oxymoron in the UN. I mean, and it'll have to come approval from the Security Council before it deploys. And it's deploying from a country that's probably further away from the crisis than just about any other country in the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure where that came from. And we do have our military spread around the world doing good jobs, particularly with NATO, whether it's Latvia or Iraq or whatever. But, yeah... A bunch of money being thrown at the very beginning of the presentation. Great to have more women on peacekeeping, even if it goes from 7% to 14%, particularly with police. We were doing that here in Canada with the Pearson Peacekeeping Center, and the previous government shut that down for about $250,000 savings, so that was a bad decision.
Right.
But attaching teams, small teams, as soon as I hear small teams, the hair on the back of my neck goes up. Small teams to assist and occasionally accompany what are some third world militaries in their missions in Africa. When you are assigned that job with four or five of your buddies, men or women and women, you say to yourself, if I'm accompanying this group and I'm advising them, that obviously means they're not up to scratch. And here I am with five of my buddies, you know, with this 1,000-man battalion or whatever it is from country X. Doesn't fill you with a lot of confidence. Didn't work particularly well in Afghanistan.
True. I'm curious what you thought the reaction in the room was. There was polite applause, but do you think the delegates there were underwhelmed, or do you think they anticipated this? And
exactly the word I used, speaking to my wife, underwhelmed. I didn't see a broad shot. I didn't see it facing them. It was more or less like at the UN and the General Assembly when half the people applaud. But I mean, it would be one thing if we hadn't promised. I mean, even the promise of 600 together as a group and not penny packeted around, in 94,000 total peacekeepers around the world, it could have an impact. And it could be protecting civilians. We're not in the protecting civilians game. We're going to train other people how to do that. And by the way, our peacekeeping expertise, because there are some nuances to it as opposed to going into something like Afghanistan. That generation, this generation, long gone. We're retired. And so there are some things that other people are probably in a position to teach us.
Is this an opportunity lost in your view, or is it still one they just haven't decided what that opportunity is going to be?
If they really want to have an impact on UN peace operations, then it's an opportunity lost, yeah. Because the UN has been asking for a number of things like helicopters and like fixed wing lift, etc. But there are other countries prepared to do that too. Boots on the ground. If it's a just cause, and you're going to have to go out and fight to protect people. I wish they'd call these protection missions as opposed to pursuit missions or whatever. Because in Mali, you actually got four different independent national organizations leading counterinsurgency, etc. It's very, very complicated, and we could certainly assist.
You and I talked earlier this week about this being part of the pursuit for a UN Security Council seat. Does this play into that script at all?
Boy, I must be woefully out of date because I just don't think it does. I just don't think you're not necessarily in competition with your group that you're competing with for that non-voting seat, but you're in competition for your own reputation, living up to your promises, your commitments of the past. And the word last night when I was involved in a pre-briefing was, yeah, we're going to do some things, but we don't know when, how and where. And that's coming from people inside, you know, the decision-making process. We don't know when, where, or how.
So we're lost on the world stage?
I just don't think the government, I don't think the Prime Minister achieved what he wanted to achieve. And when he said Canadians are going to love this, maybe I've misread Canadians. There'll probably be a lot of them that like a lot of the touchy-feely stuff. I wouldn't ask any of the local commanders of the military if you wanted an honest answer.
Good. Lou McKenzie, thanks for coming. Appreciate this.
Pleasure, Don.
All right. All right, coming up, Britain's top general sizes up Canada's contribution. Please stay with us.
The shift that we're demonstrating today, not just in Canada's approach to peacekeeping, but in what should be the global approach to peacekeeping, is around smart pledges, is around